Florida residents, Pornhub is pulling out. This is TFG Unbuttoned.
It's the Focus Group Unbuttoned with Jim Bennett and John Nash, an off-the-cuff take on politics, pop culture, and current events.
Welcome to TFG Unbuttoned. John Nash here with my good friend and co-host, Tim Bennett. The Focus Group Unbuttoned is the companion podcast to the Focus Group, which drops on Wednesdays in video form at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Of course, both of these programs are available in your audio stream of choice. And focusgroupradio.com is the website where you can learn about us and our partners, including Critics' Choice Video, America's classic movie and TV authority since 1987. We're pleased to have them with us yet again in 2025. And we will be visiting with them later in the show. So, Tim, welcome to 2025. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas and all the holiday greetings. They're now in the rearview mirror. I hope you had a good one.
I know. It was a long period, it felt like, even after New Year's was over. It still felt like there was a holiday coming or something, because I think people lose track of the time. But I guess because everything was on a Wednesday, right? Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah. So some people did work like right before the holiday, right after, and then they had the weekend. So it's kind of all broken up. But I'm the same way. I said to Bob at one point, like, have we been in holiday mode for a month? I mean, it felt like a long time, but it was really only a week and a few odd days. So
yeah, no, it was nice. I had gone to Connecticut, and we had snow on Christmas Eve, which was nice. So there was a white Christmas, I'll put in quotes. And so I was up there for a while, and then got back here to Delaware and did New Year's down here and had some nice visits with neighbors and friends. So it was quiet, I would say, overall.
Yeah, but, yeah, same here. I bunch of stuff that we did and was very funny. For example, our friends Tony and John came up to the neighborhood for an afternoon walk up to the Cloisters in Fort Tryon Park. And as we were coming back to have a glass of wine at the apartment before going out for dinner, we were walking by the Mother Cabrini School.
Oh, is she open?
Well, I said to Tony, a.k.a. Trish, I said, Trish, ever since we moved up here, Tim has been badgering me to go in to see Mother Cabrini. And he makes this face like the, you know, when a pet tilts their head, like, Mother Cabrini. And I'm like, yeah, she's in a glass coffin, and apparently she's been preserved forever. He walked
like
right
something out of North Korea.
Well, is it Lenin who's in the?
Oh,
the
Lenin! They take him out. He's nothing but a shell, and they dip him in formaldehyde once a year and clean him up
with the wax and the sawdust back. And so we're at the entrance to this school and the church, and well, let's go see. We walked right in, walked up to the chapel. You know what you're in for when you walk into the chapel. And the first thing you walked into is the Mother Cabrini gift shop, where you can buy bags. And there's a famous picture. There's a painting of her sitting in a black dress, and behind her is the Statue of Liberty, because she is the patron saint of immigrants and immigration.
Oh,
so
I had no idea.
That image of her with the Statue of Liberty is everywhere. You can buy a fridge magnet. You can buy a bag. There's T-shirts.
Did Bob pick up something?
Well, no, Bob and I were actually somewhat mortified, but Trish and John were like, hey, let's check this out. So, hello, welcome. We were very respectful. We were looking
right,
at some
of course.
Thinking, okay, the first thing that you walk into is not something that's solemn, but it's a gift store. Okay. So then we went up down a hall, and then there was the main, you could see in through these glass walls, and you could see the actual chapel and the pews and the whole bit. And there are many, many people sitting in the pews praying. Some were kneeling in front of the Mother Cabrini glass casket, which forms the altar actually in this church. And there's the four of us who, I think if you were sitting there praying, you'd look over like, oh, I wonder who the queens are. You're in the wrong place. Go to the gift shop.
I can't believe there were people. What time of day was this?
It was
like
a Friday
afternoon
after Christmas. It was the 27th, okay. And it was about 4 p.m.
So is she literally in a glass?
Yes, she's in a glass fronted. I walked in to the point where I could look in and see her head and her hands resting on her chest, like her crossed hands, as if she, you know, in that pose they do. Tony went in further. Ever the daring Trish, right, goes into and gets a good look at Mother Cabrini, and that. So I just wanted to share that we eventually did go into the Mother Cabrini Chapel, and then there was another room that we went into that had some history of Fort Tryon and Mother Cabrini and her work with immigrants. And behind that, there was these rows of votive candles. Remember back at the, I don't know if you remember this, but you used to be able to go into a church,
right,
and put like some money in a little box,
light a candle.
You would light a candle for someone. Well, I'm staring at this thing and I'm trying to figure it out because some candles are flickering and there are no matches, but there is a box for the money. So I thought, well, I might as well, you know, kick off the end of this year and the new year. So I put like a five in the box, and then I started to figure out how to light a candle until I realized they're all battery operated lights. You push a button. So I push this button and Bob just looks at me. And I'm like, I just said a positive thought for the new year and, you know, for good fortune and good health, whatever. And he's staring at the battery operated. He goes, do you think someone comes by at the end of the day and hits a master switch and they all go off until the next day? I mean.
Typical Bob.
Well, he's right, right? Like, you know, how does this all work? That was a fun thing. That was a fun afternoon. And then we had cocktails at the apartment. Then we went to a tapas restaurant for dinner. So it was a great day. But I thought you would appreciate the holiday.
Well, I was
visit.
Curious as to whether she was in there because, you know, it is tough to keep these bodies maintained. I wonder who does it. Somebody must actually have to do it, right? Or is she sealed in there like a hermetically sealed?
It looked hermetically sealed, but, you know, I got to say, you know, when they opened up some of those Egyptian tombs from years ago, right? Some of those bodies, I mean, they had obviously the embalming process did things to them, but there was a huge amount of preservation as well. So who knows? I mean, maybe now and then there's a special mortician they would take Mother Cabrini to who knows how to, you know, touch it up. But it was just really...
Kim Jong-il and Kim Il-sung, they're under glass, and you can go in and see them in the museum. But
And, you know, I'll say one other thing that I did that was really fun. On Christmas Eve, I met my friend Adam for lunch. He's going to be starting a new training business, and I wanted to, like, just get together with him, and he wanted some advice. And he asked me to meet him at the Museum of Natural History at the Gilder restaurant, and I didn't know what he was talking about. I haven't been to the Museum of Natural History since 2021, maybe, just a stroll through the planetarium area. And I thought it was going to be empty. So he agreed to meet me at he's a member, and I agreed he wanted me to meet him at the members entrance. So I walk in, and I was shocked. The place was packed. I mean, kids
really?
Are running around. So this Gilder restaurant is part of this new hall in the back of the museum, this brand new, big, beautiful addition they did. And after we had lunch, we went to something called the Butterfly Room. You have to go through an airlock. And there are hundreds of beautiful butterflies flying around. They land on you. They land on plants. You could photograph them. It was a really, really cool experience. You learn also that the butterfly room is filled with males because the females, they have to have special plants that they decide that they're going to land on and drop their eggs for the caterpillars to hatch. And it was just one of those fun, random afternoons right before Christmas, right? Butterfly Room, Gilder Hall.
Well, I can guarantee you, nobody else has done what you did. the Butterfly Room and Mother Cabrini.
Mother Cabrini. There you go.
The only thing you're missing was a slice of pizza. Now, before we get into the show, though, I do have a question about this congestion pricing. It's all over the news down here about it's going to cost you an additional $9 minimum to get into Manhattan below 60th. Is this going to affect you?
No.
So does it affect residents?
Yes, it does. And I think you can apply for some abatements, but they dropped it originally way back a couple months ago in the plan, right before the election. The plan called for $15 a day to come into the city, which I thought was crazy. My thing with congestion pricing is this, you know, if the money honestly is going to go to pay for things, great. But here's the problem. New Yorkers in general have been paying for the transit system for years. What's happened to all the billions that got pumped into it? Now they're saying they need even more. I mean, it's one of those, it's a tax. Let's call it what it is. They call it congestion pricing, but it's a new tax. And we'll see how it goes. You know, the Trump administration claims that they want to roll this back because it can crush business, et cetera. But we'll see.
Yeah, I did the math. They were talking about there's 7 million cars that wander around Manhattan. So it will bring in $63 million.
Yep.
And I don't know if that's a month or I forget what they said, or that's a day. But because if you took your car out, though, and drove below 60 we'll during the day, you'll get charged $9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get charged.
So what if you didn't have an Easy Pass, though?
It captures the license plate number, and it actually hooks into the DMV, and they send you a bill.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same technology that they used for the toll, you know, when they eliminated the toll booth. So
what would it cost, then, if you were coming through the Lincoln Tunnel, which drops you, what, around 49th or something?
So you pay for the tunnel.
So say the tunnel. And how much is the tunnel?
Oh, I don't even remember. I know the GW
Bridge. Say it's 15?
Yeah, you pay that. And then the minute you're in the city, you pay another $9 to be in that.
Then another $9. Okay.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, I look, you know, a friend of mine said to me, because I was complaining about this, and there are other New Yorkers who are like, oh, we got to get rid of the congestion in the cars. And I'm like, yeah, you can say that, but there's other things going on, drop-offs, you know, people who need medical assistance. You know, there's a whole range of reasons. And congestion pricing in London hasn't exactly reduced the number of traffic in their core zone. It's certainly raised money, but we'll see how it goes. You know, these well-intentioned government programs that a bunch of pencil necks researched for thousands of years, right? And they don't. And a lot of the people on the committee that did this don't even drive cars. So,
it's like tolls. You know, well, once the bridge is paid for, those tolls never stop. The bridge has been paid for over and over again.
That's exactly the yes, 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 and yes. Yeah. Okay, so we're still paying for the bridge, even though we paid for the bridge 20 years ago.
20 times over, exactly. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. It's it's been all over the news here, which I'm sure it's all over the news.
It's everywhere. And we'll see how it goes. As I said, this incoming administration would like to revisit this because it did require federal authority and a federal approval.
Right.
All right. So on to some stories for you folks. They're kind of quick. The first one I teased at the beginning, Florida residents are about to lose access to Pornhub, amongst other adult entertainment sites. But there is a law that was passed in Texas. I think it's called HB3. And it forbids adult sites to operate unless, of course, they can gather information like a government ID or similar documentation to prove that the individual accessing the site is 18 or over. This is going on in other states as well. So it's not just California. It's Oklahoma, Kentucky, Texas, Montana, North Carolina, Arkansas, Utah, Mississippi, Virginia, and Louisiana. And Pornhub basically put out a thing saying, you know, here's what's happening. Here's why you can't access the site. And I just think this is kind of nanny state on steroids. Is that my thought?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And there was on social media, some people were talking. I guess they were a little late to figure it out. And they were asking people in Florida whether they could access Pornhub or not. And there was mixed results. But you're exactly right. This reminds me a lot of when you and I did the cannabis project. And we were told that because the company we worked with was in Colorado, that the site should not be or could not be accessed by states outside of Colorado. There was no way to actually stop that, remember?
Yeah, it was impossible.
Yeah, if you logged into it, you were going to go there unless each state individually decides they're going to start blocking things. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but this is part of this fight on pornography, blah, blah, blah. But
well,
it reminds me of the drinking thing, right? You click, are you 18? Yes. Then you move on.
Yeah,
yeah.
Thanks for that example. I forgot that liquor companies do that. Here's the best part of this article. The law, how they define this idea of harmful material to minors is the following. According to the law, any material that, quote, the average person applying contemporary community standards would find, taken as a whole, appeals to the prurient interest. This reminds me of that ridiculous quote, like, I don't know, I can't tell you what porn is, but I know when I see it, right?
I know when I see it. It's very Jehovah's Witness. Yeah, it's the purient thoughts.
Anybody down in those states I mentioned, just get yourselves a VPN, like Tunnel Bear or something like that, and play like you're in a different part of the country, and you'll be able to access away.
That's a simple way. Otherwise, you have to, I guess, fill out something. I don't know. It's just
you have to submit your ID, which I don't think you want to bother doing for that.
No.
Our next story, Tim sent along, and I had found it as well. And it doesn't surprise me given the gentleman's age, but claim of dementia could derail the former Abercrombie and Fitch CEO's sex trafficking case. So this is Mike Jeffries. His legal team has filed. He is the former CEO of Abercrombie and Fitch, and he's now embroiled in a legal battle with many former male models who accuse him of sexual misconduct, trafficking, this a whole bunch of stuff, which I don't doubt, knowing what we know about A&F. But his lawyers have filed suits or filed paperwork saying they don't feel that he can, in fact, mount a credible defense, that and they've put him through a battery of tests, and he has the alleged diagnosis of late onset Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yeah, we all saw this coming. I mean, he's a very wealthy man. This is usually the defense with the wealthy, right? You've got dementia, you're crazy, or you can't get through it. I think they tried that with what's his name, the guy from the movies,
Ron Jeremy.
No, famous directors. Of course,
I'm are you talking Peter Bogdanovich? Are you who are you thinking?
No, it begins with a W. He's sick. He's in the prison in New York.
Oh! You're talking about Weinstein.
Weinstein. Yeah. You know, he's got dementia too. Can't get through. Got cancer. So what they're going to do is the court has decided they're going to actually do their own test, I guess, to put him through this battery to see whether he in fact has a diagnosis of dementia and what his neurological deficit is. But I didn't laugh about the issue, but I laughed about the issue that if you're wealthy, there are two standards of legal justice in our country. And if you're wealthy, you can go down the road of one of these ploys. They mentioned Ron Jeremy doing this, and we know Weinstein has done this. Other people have claimed either dementia or whatever along the way. So we'll see. It was funny because it was a couple of weeks before he was arrested that all of a sudden this dementia thing showed up.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So they knew it was coming. You know, get on your knees, you get in the book. I mean, everybody knows what he did. I don't know about the other two. They didn't mention.
It was the whisper campaign that everybody knew about when it was going on.
Right.
You know, even the modeling agencies knew. Like, hey,
just like Jeffries, same thing, right?
Yeah. There was one thing in here that I thought really caught my eye. It says a competency hearing for Jeffries has been scheduled for June. Okay, so here we are in January, and they're going to do a competency hearing in June. Well, by then, he may have degraded some more. If I were one of the defendants, if I were one of the plaintiffs, I think it's the plaintiff in the case, and you had brought this against him, I would be really upset by this development because this is just slow-boating everything, right?
Yeah, because Trump told us TV, cat, lawnmower, Santa Claus.
Thank you.
That's all you got to do. You're all set.
Folks, you've missed the focus group. I've missed that little thing. Our last story today, Tim also found, and the headline reads, LGB without the T, backlash builds over LGBT center rebrand. So this is coming to us from California, and it's the Imperial Valley area. And the LGBTQ Resource Center, there has decided to rebrand and drop the T, which caused other centers in the area to basically get all their panties tied up in a bunch. And I don't mean to mitigate this in any way, but everybody threw off these missives about how horrible and how terrible this is. You know, as I was reading this, it just reminded me once again that there's no wiggle room anywhere anymore.
No.
You cannot have a thoughtful or cogent conversation about this in particular. And I think that that's to the detriment of everybody because, you know, you were just talking to me before we started recording about how the Olympics, I think, are planning on not allowing trans athletes in the next games. And again, you know, this is something to have a conversation about. I don't think we need to be demonizing people or demonizing communities. Obviously, it's being used as a cudgel by the right, but it's a very unusual topic. And instead, what it gets is like, you know, lip service paid to it when someone does something like this, and then something comes out and says, well, you know, this is going to be horrible. It's a disservice and it's going to put people at risk. And I don't know, is the reaction more outsized than this was an interesting piece.
Yeah. So the founder and the chief executive of the Imperial Valley LGBT Resource Center, which is changing its name, as John says, dropping the T. She gave what she felt was a very cogent explanation, and I don't disagree with her. She said in the California Assembly Bill 1955, it actually allows for students not to engage their parents, or youth mm-hmm. to not yeah. engage their parents if they have questioning or they're trying to figure out gender identity or sexual orientation. And she did not want to be involved in that process because she thought in many cases, sometimes this has been hastily decided and there does need to be some interaction. In her opinion, there needs to be some interaction or involvement with the parents. And California says no. And so this really was a issue between her and the state of California. And her thought was, I do believe that the parents do have a say or do have some sort of involvement in youth. And that's why they've dropped the T. So she doesn't want to be involved in deciding somebody's gender as a underage or a minor or their orientation.
So that shading of getting out of the way of the state, you know, the state comes down hard on this and says, yes, kids are going to be able to do this on their own. At the same time, a child is a dependent until the age right. of what, 16, 17 or 18. So it's, and then, you know, I think that, so she made this statement, and then here's something that someone came out against her and said, the recent rebranding under Rosa Diaz and the board's leadership, as well as Rosa's anti-trans comments, are not just a disappointing degradation of trust, it is disgusting and dangerous betrayal of the very community at the center was meant to serve. And when I read that, I'm like, she didn't say anything anti-trans. She simply said, the state has intervened and said this. I don't think we should be in this position
this
of
business,
doing.
Right.
Yeah. So, but that's suddenly anti-trans, right?
No, it's not. But that's how it's being perceived. And I, you know, you can argue both sides of it, right? But
yeah,
it's as you said earlier, we need to have the conversation without demonizing people on both sides.
Yeah, and have an intelligent one without starting to shake the stick of religion or whatever it may be. Right. I mean, it's yeah. But, you know, even just discussing this, the two of us, and there we see the different, some of the nuance in this article, which was pretty, I thought it was very well reported. I think this came out of, this was from, what paper was this? It was from the Calexico Chronicle. So there, it's part of the border states.
Yeah, I think I pulled it off of a Them blog, it was called.
Yeah, and it was, but it's long, and it was really well reported, and they went through her position, all these other centers. So it wasn't like they were slipshod, just throwing something into the pages. But yeah, it's a delicate, nuanced, it needs to be thoughtful, and it needs to be, you need to bring integrity to the table and really honestly have these discussions and strive for a decent outcome for everybody. All right, as we said at the top of the show, CC Video, or Critics' Choice Video, America's classic movie and TV authority since 1987, has been a partner of ours here on TFG Unbuttoned since the start. We would really love it if you could visit their site by going to ours and clicking on the Critics' Choice Video or just putting in ccvideo.com. A wealth of stuff. We love going down the rabbit hole. And definitely we are into what we would say would be the New Year's sale.
New Year's sale or winter sale. Right. There's free shipping with orders of over $25. So if you didn't get what you wanted for Christmas or the holidays, you can get on there and start ordering it up, Mr. Nash.
Did you see anything you liked?
I was looking through. I got lost in the games and the toys a little bit. I was checking some of that stuff out, but I haven't pulled the trigger on anything yet. How about you?
Right on the homepage, I never saw the movie Inside Out 2. It's a Pixar film. I'd like to see that. Classic movie right here on the main page. Robert De Niro, Jerry Lewis. Have you ever seen a movie? It's a Martin Scorsese film, The King of Comedy.
No, I haven't.
I highly recommend it. And you could get it from CC Video for $10.47.
Well, it's perfect. And as John mentioned, thanks to our friends at Critics' Choice Video. They've been with us since we've started here on TFG Unbuttoned. We appreciate their support of us and your support of them. Find them at focusgroupradio.com and click on the Critics' Choice Video logo and start shopping away. It is America's classic movie and TV authority since 1987. We hope you have all. We hope you had a safe move into 2025. Be sure to catch our show, The Focus Group, with Tim Bennett and John Nash, released on Wednesdays as usual. And we hope you all have a good week, and we'll see you next time here on TFG Unbuttoned. Take care.
It's The Focus Group Unbuttoned with Tim Bennett and John Nash, available every Tuesday. Learn more about Tim and John, Unbuttoned, and all of the Focus Group platforms at focusgroupradio.com.